Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 31st, 2020. Gunmen abduct civilians in Maridi State.
So the other man was shot in the waist, they left him, and the woman was shot in the arm. So the other three were safe. That's when they were trying to come out to run for their lives, and they were abducted.
And gunfire is reported in outskirts of Rumbek town.
Number of arms used is bigger than the number of forces we have, but the government from these states of Gog and Western Lakes are trying here and there to control the situation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Trump administration announced today it has appointed William Stewart Symington as the special envoy for South Sudan. The U.S. State Department issued a statement saying the new special envoy will lead U.S. efforts to support the peace process and successful political transition in South Sudan. Special Envoy Symington is a retired ambassador who previously served as chief of mission to Nigeria from 2016 to 2019, to Rwanda from 2008 to 2011. He also served as ambassador to Djibouti from 2006 to 2008. Ambassador Symington also served as the U.S. Special Representative for the Central African Republic from 2014 to 2016. Residents of Rumbek town woke up to sounds of heavy gunfire this morning. The deputy governor of Western Lakes State, Matiang Deng Monjit, says security forces are fighting armed young men who have been engaged in revenge killings since Monday. He says the number of armed young men in the state has overwhelmed the National Army.
This morning, around a place called Dukan, one of the boomers of Amongin County, there was a group of armed youths who came there for armed robbery. So our patrolling forces incidentally met with them along the narrow from Rumbek, going to Mr. Rumbek. Our security forces who are dispatching the armed youths who are robbing the villages of Dukan. And this is what happened this morning.
And how far is that location from Rumbek town?
Yeah, I think it's around 8 miles.
This is happening in the backdrop of clashes going on there since Wednesday, and we have been reporting on it. How is the situation right now? Is the fighting still going on in those other areas where there were attacks from youth suspected to be from Gok State? Is it still ongoing?
Yes, the youth suspected to be from Gok State. Yes, the fight took place in the morning around Kyeke, one of the dams of Malia County, that is outside the main road and outside of the dam headquarters. The fight took place this morning between Western Lakes youth and the armed youth from Gog State.
Do you have any figures of how many people have died in this latest fighting?
Yeah, in that fight, Western Lake State side, you have four killed and five wounded.
45 people wounded, and how many people were killed?
Four.
And you were telling me this morning that forces from Rumbek on patrol, and they clashed with the armed youth around 8 miles outside the town. Is the state also sending forces to where this fighting is taking place?
Oh, well, we have sent the forces here yesterday, but the area is vast. This fight of today took place in the villages in deep forest, whereby our forces could not make it to reach because we are expecting them to come along the Payam headquarters, which is called Piaget, but they divert to a different location, avoiding the forces. That is where the fight took place this morning.
If these fights continue and people continue to die, what's going to happen in your state?
Due to the conditions, accessibility and the number of arms used is bigger than the number of forces we have. But the government from two states of Gog and Western Lakes are trying here and there to control the situation. Like yesterday, the commissioner of Abreu from Gog State and the minister of local government went there and the chiefs talking to the youth to cease these hostilities and embrace peace. But unfortunately, this morning they went in a different direction. Abruptly, they attacked the village and the fire took place. The two states government are trying their best to bring it to an end.
And what is the cause of this fighting? I don't understand why people from the same area who speak the same language, who belong to the same country, fight each other. What is the cause?
The cause of fight done is the cattle thefts. Because when a small group of youth went for stealing cattle thefts, when one of them maybe got killed by the cattle owners, the other side will not consider him to be a thief. They will go for revenge. So the cause is a circle of revenge. This one goes for cattle raids. The other one comes for revenge. Someone killed in that process. These are the causes. And also, is the breakdown of the cultures and norms. Because these cattle thefts or cattle stealing was not part of these cultures. As you put it, it's still one language. So the whole thing is cattle. This is causing all these fights.
That's Matiang Deng Mondid, Deputy Governor of Western Lakes State, speaking with me on a very poor phone line from Rumbek earlier today. We apologize for that poor audio quality. A group calling itself Maridi Civil Society Forum is condemning an attack earlier this week by unidentified armed men on a vehicle carrying five civilians. As we hear from Ayen Dengbior, one victim is recovering from gunshot wounds to the waist, and three others were abducted.
The five passengers were on their way back to Maridi from Juba on the Maram Road in Mambe County around 8 o'clock Monday morning when their car was ambushed by armed men, according to a member of the Maridi Civil Society Forum, who wished not to be named due to fear of reprisal.
There was a woman, one woman, and then four men. So the other man was shot in the waist, they left him, and the woman was shot in the arm. So the other three were safe. That's when they were trying to come out to run for their lives, and they were abducted in the process.
The woman is recovering well, according to the Civil Society Forum member, who says that the man who was shot in the waist is still at the hospital, awaiting for surgery to remove the bullet. The group says this is not the first time such an attack has happened, noting a similar incident occurred in October.
Well, as Maridi Civil Society Forum, we reiterate our call for guarantee of safe and free movement of civilians throughout the country. Maridi Civil Society Forum also appeals to the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements, monitoring and verification mechanisms to investigate and report on this incident and identify the attackers.
Earlier this month, clashes between the SPLA-IO and the holdout rebel group National Salvation Front were reported about 16 kilometers from Maridi town. A June 2019 Human Rights Watch report said the government embarked on a military offensive in late 2018 to flush out NAS forces, starting on the Ye-Maridi Road and then moving on to various locations in Mukaya and Otogo counties. The Maridi Civil Society Forum could not identify which group the armed men belonged to in Monday's attack. Ayen Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
The SPLM-IO is setting several preconditions for participating in the unity government due to be formed in about 2 weeks. The group issued a 7-page position paper this week in response to a regional committee proposal referring the dispute over the number of states and boundaries to arbitration. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
The SPLM-IO released its position paper after several rounds of talks between President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Dr. Riek Machar did not resolve the dispute over the number of states and their boundaries, along with other outstanding issues. The group reiterated that it will not be part of any unity government until the outstanding issues are resolved. SPLM-IO has accused the government of failing to withdraw its forces from civilian populated areas, especially the Juba-Nimule Highway, which the group calls a violation of the security arrangements in the revitalized peace agreement. Stephen Parkwall, who represents the SPLM-IO in the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, the body overseeing implementation of the peace agreement, says his group wants UN troops to take charge of those areas until a unified force is established.
The government is insisting that
they cannot leave Juba-Nimule Road, which is actually the lifeline road connecting us with different countries and ports. We see that as a critical point, and it is a common interest of the country, including the SPLM-IO. We propose that since we are implementing the agreement, the forces along this road should not continue to occupy civilian centers.
The SPLM-IO statement says the parties should agree on areas for armies deployment, either to replace forces withdrawn or deployed. For example, the Tiger unit deployed in the former Ministry of Wildlife opposite J1, Western Yei, Maiwood, and areas along Juba-Nimule Road. Government spokesman Michael McQuay flat out the proposal.
That is irrelevant. It is outside the agreement. It is not acceptable. There is nothing as such. Right. Our condition is that there is nothing as such. The government of national unity should be formed.
In a text message to VOA, Anmis spokesperson Francesca Anmari sent an earlier response from Anmis chief David Shearer saying, quote, where the UN has the capability to increase its presence to support demilitarization and build confidence, we can do this, end quote. But Shearer also says any change in UNMISS deployment should come as a request that is agreed to by all the parties to the peace deal. The SPLM-IO also complains that South Sudanese forces have yet to be trained because a majority of the training sites are not prepared for carrying out training exercises. The group wants trainers from IGAD member states, Kenya, Uganda, Sudan, and Ethiopia to be deployed at the sites. McQuay says the government will not accept any trainees from outside the country.
Trainers from their side, from our side, from the side of the opposition on our side, they have all been combined, unified, and trained. And they are now distributed to all the training centers. What is that? That is an inferiority complex. Which means that they don't even believe in their own trainers.
The SPLM-IO is also demanding that the arbitration proposed by South Africa's Deputy President David Mabuza to determine the number of states and boundaries be completed before the February 22nd deadline to form a unity government. Kwal insists the SPLM-IO will only participate in a unity government when their demands are met.
Structurally speaking, you cannot have a complete government without the national legislature as a whole. The government of the state, the government of the counties, the local government as stipulated in the constitution must all be in place for us to form a government.
President Kiir and Riek Machar are expected to meet in Juba again next week for a final round of talks to try to break the stalemate over the outstanding issues. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a dispute escalates between South Sudanese youth groups and the National Youth Union. Find out why when we come back after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best way to introduce change?
You have to educate. Education is the key factor to change. Without education, people will resist.
You have to educate the person. You have to educate people on the situation on ground, the implication of that situation, and if the change is to come in, what impact is that change going to create?
So the best way to introduce change is to understand the change, and you try to educate the people on what change is all about.
I think just go right ahead and do it, because there are always people who don't really like change, and there are also always people who like change and they're conducive to change. And so I think there's always going to be that one person who's like, no, I don't like this, it's different.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A row has been brewing over the past few weeks between youth groups and the National Youth Union over a delay in passing South Sudan's youth development policy. Activists accused the newly elected president of the National Youth Union of blocking the passage of the youth policy in South Sudan's parliament. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
The OK Africa Foundation, a key group advocating for passage of the youth development policy, alleges the newly elected chairman of the National Youth Union has blocked attempts to have parliament discuss youth policy. National Youth Union chairperson Gola Boyoi Gola denies playing a role in the postponement but acknowledges having concerns about some of the policy's content.
In our constitution as National Youth Union and also general regulation of the ministry, the youth is someone from 18 to 35 in line with our constitution, because in according to the constitution, someone below 80 is underage. Number two, they named the Youth Union Youth Council, which is like copy-paste from the other youth organizations.
Gola says his union is advocating for the rights of youth. The government's policy on youth development does not specify how the government should help disadvantaged, marginalized, or those living with disabilities. The union's Secretary for External Affairs, Jacob Magai, says the youth development policy should conform with the East African community's definition of youth, which is 15 to 35 years. MP David Unyo Demey, who heads the Committee on Culture, Youth and Sports in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, says lawmakers have not discussed the youth policy because they had more important bills to discuss.
This policy went through the Council of Ministers, tabled by the Ministry of Justice and also together with the Minister of Culture, Youth and Sports. And it went to the Council of Ministers chaired by the President of the Republic. So when we received this as Parliament, we knew that those bills is consistent with the Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan. So we don't have a concern about the work of the youth union.
Augustine Deng Alier, coordinator of the South Sudan Civil Society Coalition, says young people are confused about the nation's youth policy.
When the issue of the policy came, people were furious, emotional, but that should not be the thing. We should develop a culture of always dialoguing among ourselves, understanding issues in a very positive way.
The South Sudan Youth Development Policy was first tabled for discussion in 2014. Since then, lawmakers have adopted no policy on youth. As a result, groups like the OK Africa Foundation are pressurizing lawmakers to come up with a youth policy and pass it into law. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
The World Health Organization has declared the outbreak of a global health emergency. At least 43 people died from the new coronavirus, the most in a single day to date. More than 7,800 cases have been confirmed. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from the WHO headquarters.
Almost 99% of coronavirus cases reported around the world are in China, as are all the people who have lost their lives from this unknown disease. So far, only 98 cases have been confirmed in 18 countries outside China, including 8 cases of human-to-human transmission in 4 countries, Germany, Japan, Vietnam, and the United States. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus acknowledges this is a relatively small number compared to China. But he notes the numbers are going up and infections are spreading to more countries. He says international action is needed to limit further spread of the disease.
The main reason for this declaration is not because of what is happening in China, but because of what is happening in other countries. Our greatest concern is the potential for the virus to spread to countries with weaker health systems and which are ill prepared to deal with it.
Tedros says the decision to declare the coronavirus a global health threat is not a vote of no confidence in China. On the contrary, he says WHO has full confidence in China's ability to control the outbreak. However, he adds it is urgent that countries worldwide act together to control this unprecedented outbreak. The WHO Emergency Committee says it is still possible to interrupt the virus spread, provided countries take strong measures to detect the disease early, isolate, and treat cases. The committee does not recommend restrictions on international travel and trade. It calls on countries to implement decisions based on evidence, not on rumor and misinformation. The experts advise countries to share full data on all human cases. They say countries with weaker health systems must be supported, and the development of vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics should be accelerated. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on coronavirus, France announced its sixth case of the new coronavirus this week and repatriated a plane load of its citizens from the virus-stricken Chinese city of Wuhan. But back at home, Chinese and others in the wider East Asian community say they are becoming targets for discrimination. For VOA News, Lisha Bryan reports from Paris.
Just as fast as the coronavirus is spreading, so too seems to be prejudice in Japan, South Korea, and Italy, and now here. This week, the French hashtag Je ne suis pas un virus, I am not a virus, was trending on Twitter.
Un mec commence à faire agir.
This Chinese man interviewed on France's BFM TV, his face hidden so he wouldn't be recognized, described walking out of a Paris gym and being accosted by teenagers who laughed and said, "There's coronavirus coming." Ethnic Chinese aren't the only ones being targeted. One account on social media described a Vietnamese woman being shunned by those around her. Other East Asians say fellow passengers on public transport move away from them or put scarves in front of their faces.
Et on observe vraiment que ce fait, que cette situation a servi de, comment dire.
In a television interview, Letitia Chive, head of the Association of Young Chinese in France, said coronavirus was giving expression to latent racism. It hasn't helped that a French newspaper, Le Courrier Picard, published the headline Yellow Alert on its cover last Sunday and titled an editorial A New Yellow Peril. The newspaper quickly apologized, saying the move was unintentional, but the damage was done.
J'ai vu passer la une du Courrier Picard. Je me suis dit, mais c'est pas possible. On est au 20e.
Interviewed by a colleague, journalist Lin Landau said she couldn't believe the Courrier Picard's title. We're in the 21st century, she said. All this comes after France reported a surge in racist and xenophobic acts in 2019, up 130% from the previous year. While much of the focus has been on Jews and Muslims, ethnic Chinese have also been targets in recent years. The government's line is zero tolerance to discrimination. In 2016, thousands of Chinese staged protests after a 42-year-old man was killed outside Paris by three men trying to rob his companion's bag. It wasn't the first attack, and Chinese anti-violence activist Damar Liu says it hasn't been the last.
C'est en lien.
Parce que y a des préjugés.
Liu says the same prejudice behind these past attacks on the Chinese community, because they're stigmatized as rich and hardworking, and therefore good targets to rob, is being seen with coronavirus today. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
In West Africa, the coronavirus appears to be spreading rapidly, and governments around the world are sounding the alarm. West Africa is home to thousands of Chinese nationals, and officials there say they are standing on high alert after a suspected case was reported in Ivory Coast. Anika Hammerschlag reports from Dakar.
West Africa is no stranger to deadly epidemics. During the 2014 to 2016 Ebola outbreak, more than 11,000 people lost their lives. But by some measures, the disease has made the region stronger. When reports about the coronavirus began surfacing, some government officials were quick to respond. Dr. Ousmane Gaye is the director of the National Service for Education and Health Information with Senegal's Ministry of Health. He says anytime an epidemic outbreak occurs that has the potential to spread to Senegal, the government forms a national committee comprised of the ministries of health, livestock, environment, and others. Working together, the ministers have created a toll-free emergency number that residents can dial in the event of suspected infection. They've broadcast announcements via TV and radio to inform people what to do if they exhibit symptoms. And they've installed thermal cameras at the shipping port and airport that can detect if a traveler has a temperature. As of Wednesday, no cases of coronavirus in West Africa had been confirmed. However, one suspected case in Ivory Coast was under investigation. Given West Africa's ties to China, the region is at a disadvantage, according to Dr. Michel Yao, a program manager for emergency response for the World Health Organization in Africa.
There is an increased partnership between African countries and China. So we have many people in business traveling between two countries. Africans going to import goods from China, and also Chinese implementing business in Africa.
Yao said countries can best protect the residents by closely monitoring their ports of entry. Many West Africans share Yao's concern. Dakar resident Maya Jope was getting her hair braided in the city's Ngor neighborhood on Wednesday. She said, though the situation is nothing like what she experienced during the Ebola outbreak, she's still worried. She says some Senegalese have family in China who are posting on social media that they can no longer leave their homes. If they return to Senegal without knowing whether they have the virus, they could transmit it. Everyone is concerned. Sadio Mané, a cook at a crêperie next door, who's named after the famed Senegalese soccer champion, said he too was worried.
Même si c'est la Chine.
Even if it's in China, he says, people are always traveling left and right, so that concerns them too. As the number of those infected rises each day, so does the concern the disease will reach the shores of West Africa. Annika Hammerschlag for VOA News, Dakar.
That's our show for this week, and we now leave you with the song Exodus by Bob Marley. We have been listening to Bob Marley with the song Exodus. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.